Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
This Easter season reminds us that Easter is not just a day, but in our liturgical calendar, it's a whole season. And really, Easter is more than a season. It's the life that we're called to live in our time and in our world. As a matter of fact, every Sunday is Easter, as we gather to celebrate the new life and nourish through word and sacrament. But this season is a gift to us to kind of focus a little bit on this Easter experience. And during this Easter season, we're going to hear on Sundays readings about the early followers of Christ, trying to discern and figure out who are we called to be, and what does it look like going forward following this risen Christ. We'll hear readings particularly from the Acts of the Apostles. As a matter of fact, our adult formation for this Easter season is going to be on the Acts of the Apostles, so we can delve even deeper into that wondrous book. What's encouraging to see in the early church is certainly the love they had for each other and the care they had for each other, but also to see the differences of opinions, the different ideas, sometimes conflict, sometimes doubt, sometimes questioning. You know, it's oftentimes said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in your midst. Well, thank God, because wherever two or three people are gathered, there's going to be two or three different opinions. And focusing on this, our relationship with Christ brings us into relationship with each other. So we'll listen over this season of the wondrous things of the early church. And it's encouraging in our time to hear those stories as we try to discern in our time how we're called to be church, how we're called to be followers of Christ, as the risen Christ seeks us out in this wondrous journey. Today's gospel is one example of an experience in the early church. Christ has been raised from the dead on Easter morning. And this first part of the gospel reading takes place that Easter evening. And it's an example of how Jesus, the Christ, the risen Christ, seeks out the disciples, seeks out his followers. We don't find the disciples of Jesus necessarily seeking out the risen Christ. As a matter of fact, they're described as being behind locked doors, out of fear, out of confusion, for their own safety, their own security. So they're locked behind closed doors, but the risen Christ seeks them out. And this is the evening of that great day, of that great Easter experience. What's interesting is that the risen Christ doesn't say to the disciples, "So where were you? You left me." That may be what I would probably feel. But Jesus reaches out to them and forgives them, calls them to a life of forgiveness, calls them to live into this life that Jesus, this risen Christ, is offering, and he cares for them. And it points out in this gospel that one person wasn't there. His name was Thomas. The first part points out the 11 were there, but Thomas was not. Then it switches to the following Sunday, the following week. And it points out that Thomas was there, but hadn't been able to be there the week before. So we're presented with Thomas, who I think gets a bad rap in the scriptures. Here, I want to present to you a way of perhaps seeing Thomas in a different way. Part of that way of seeing Thomas has just crept into our vernacular. It creeps into our culture. Even if you have never heard of Jesus, even if you've never read the scriptures, even if you're just not even walking perhaps a faith life in our tradition, part of our vernacular refers to Thomas. Do you ever, you're in conversation with somebody and you're presenting them an idea or facts or something, and you know the person says, "Are you sure? I don't know. I doubt that." You know, and an immediate response is, What are you, a doubting Thomas? What are you? You don't believe me? You don't trust this information? Or you, whatever it is, what are you, a doubting Thomas? It's said with a kind of, you know, condensation, kind of a criticizing, critiquing the person as something negative. You shouldn't be a doubting Thomas. So it has kind of a negative meaning to it. And at times it could. But I want to suggest to you that that doubting on Thomas's part led to a deeper understanding of who Christ is. Notice that Thomas, he's not doubting. He's not standing there saying, you know, I'm beginning to doubt those Beatitudes. I'm beginning to doubt those parables. I'm beginning to doubt what this Jesus taught us. It's not what Thomas is saying. At least that's not how it's presented. What Thomas is saying is, I'm doubting what this Christ is before me. I am doubting and confused in my relationship to this Christ. It's all about, in my opinion, Thomas's relationship to the Christ. And he's doubting it. He's questioning it. He's confused about it. He wants facts. He wants some sort of proof. And there's this wondrous story where Jesus so reaches out to him. And in the gospel reading, those images of, you know, reach out, touch me. You know, and Thomas, it never says that he did, but that he comes to faith. He comes to this experience of who this Christ is. I would encourage us to not deny our doubting, to go to that place of doubt and see it as a possible opening. And I don't mean just in our religious journey, but in our journey of life, in areas where we may have doubt and maybe we just don't want to address that. Bring yourself to that. It could be the opening of new possibilities in a relationship, in this faith journey we walk together. Doubting is not a negative thing. I think doubting can lead us to a deeper understanding of self, of other, and certainly of this one we call the risen Christ in our midst. It leads to newness. I think it's a part of the church history. The church has always tried to discern and discover who and what it needs to be in its time. As those early followers of Christ began to discover how they needed to be in ministry in the midst of their world, so too do we need to do that. So too do we need to be open to that and discern that together. We're called to be these followers of Christ in our time, in our place, in our experience. And will we all agree on how to do that? Probably not. But that's part of our history. Those early followers of Christ stayed in relationship with each other, despite their having different opinions. Perhaps they're even doubting each other. But they stayed in that relationship, and together began this wondrous faith community we call the church as we go forth. So I would invite you during this Easter season in two ways. On a personal level, where are you locked away behind locked doors? Where are those places that you've just shut the door, either out of fear or just wanting to push it to the side? Perhaps that's a place where the risen Christ is seeking you out, coming through that door to that place. As a community of faith, as the church, as all of us here at St. Paul's, how do we open ourselves to that Christ that is seeking us out and calling us to be church in our time, calling us to adapt and change, even in the midst of our doubts, to walk together? And by being in relationship with Christ, we stay in relationship with each other. And in the midst of that, discover wondrous life. Wondrous life. So during this Easter season, I invite us to journey forward, open our hearts, open our lives to this risen Christ who seeks out each and every one of us. The disciples weren't necessarily seeking out Christ. But Christ was seeking out them. And that's the wondrous thing as we open our lives to that evermore presence. So let us walk together during this Easter season and beyond this season of Easter into the life that Easter calls us to.